puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We have a crisis on our hands in this week's edition of Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldsworth is here to tell us all about it. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Nadia. Yes, indeed. We are here to talk about a crisis in archives.
Okay, so tell us more.
Well, an archive is a collection of information in a variety of forms, things like documents, photos, maps, audio and video recordings, well, and a whole lot more, but it's preserved because of its enduring value, either to an individual or to an organization or sometimes to society as a whole. Like our own personal memories, archives help us to remember and to understand who we are and where we've been as guides to the future. But to extend the memory analogy, I fear that Manitoba's archives are starting to show signs of Alzheimer's. They're becoming forgetful, and it's not by accident. It's the result of a troubling challenge that I'd like to talk about here this morning.
So what's the challenge?
Well, in real estate, the mantra is location, location, location. Well, among archivists, who are the stewards of our recorded memory, it is space, space, space. This is the heart of my Alzheimer's analogy. Storage space is essential for any archive. And when an archive lacks space, you know, when items that are vital to preserving our past are excluded, well, our collective memory is impaired. And it's not just a matter of having shelves to stack boxes of archival items on. The storage environment must support long-term preservation of, well, sometimes delicate items, things like paper and film. For paper, for example, the temperature and the humidity should remain as stable as possible, ideally between 30 and 50% relative humidity and 18 and 22 degrees Celsius. Photographic film may benefit from colder storage than that. And of course, protection from insects, rodents, and mold is essential. Maintaining a proper environment in small archives, well, it can be tough. Professional archives operated by governments usually can meet these standards, but not always.
So are there government archives here in Manitoba that don't meet those standards?
Well, the City of Winnipeg Archives comes immediately to mind. It's widely regarded as one of the finest collections of municipal records in Canada. It was housed until 2013 in the former Main Library on William Avenue. But that year, roof repairs went awry, water leaked in, and they put the archives at risk. Well, hastily, the records were relocated to an industrial warehouse that was simply not designed for archival storage. The collection has been there for a dozen years while the Winnipeg City Council debates a long-term solution. Well, things are looking up. Now, more than $20 million has been earmarked in the city budget. I'm told that work on turning that a William Avenue building into a state-of-the-art archival facility is beginning soon. It may even have been started already. I haven't been past there recently. The archival community is hopeful that these precious records will return to safe storage within the next couple of years. Still, an unresolved question is, how long will that space prove adequate?
Why? What do you mean?
Well, even when the environmental conditions for storage are met, one has to ask, how long will it be before the newly renovated building is full? This is a problem that archives all over Manitoba are facing, and why I describe the situation as a crisis. Several years ago, I spoke with 8 professional archivists. They worked in a wide range of archives, from public to private, from large to small. All but one of them identified their biggest problem as a glut of material they're being offered when they have little or no space to store it.
So why is there this glut of archival materials right now?
Well, in the past, archives typically received donations from people who were downsizing near the end of their lives, you know, what we might call the death purge. Today, that purge is happening in 2 generations simultaneously, the elderly along with their middle-aged children, whose children don't want any part of inherited collections. You know, and I can speak from firsthand experience in this. My kids have no interest in taking all my crap. The result is a flood of material, more than many archives can accommodate. Take as an example the Archives of Manitoba, the province's largest, by far, repository of public and private records. The provincial archive is now so full that many of its collections are stored off-site, not in the main building on Vaughan Street. And returning these materials, you know, if you want to go into the archives and say, I want to see a particular record, they may well tell you, well, you have to come back in 3 days. And that might be okay if you live here, but imagine you're a researcher from out of town and you've only got a short window in which to conduct your work. Well, that's not going to work very well if you have to come back in 3 days. So off-site storage isn't ideal. So when early discussions were being had about the fate of the former Hudson's Bay store on Portage Avenue, the one just down the street from the studio here, I proposed that building as a logical place for expanded archival storage. After all, it sits right next door to the provincial archives. Well, I guess my idea didn't curry any favor. It was not ever seriously considered.
What happens to the records that are rejected?
In some cases, they might be redirected to other institutions. And one that I always look to is the University of Manitoba Archives and Special Collections. It is not just a repository of university records. They collect all sorts of things, but it's reaching capacity too. And in fact, the problem only intensifies. The university built a new storage facility several years ago, and its space was fully allocated before the building was even finished. So they're struggling with space as well. So when large institutions like the Provincial Archives and the University of Manitoba Archives, when they start turning away important materials, the burden necessarily shifts to smaller archives around the province. And I recently heard about a dire space challenge that is facing one such archives in the town of Churchill.
What's the situation there?
In 1947, four women in Churchill came together to form what became known as the Churchill Ladies Club. And it wasn't just, you know, getting together for tea. No, they tackled very weighty problems. Their first problem, for example, was the inadequacy of the school in Churchill, and they lobbied hard and they got a new school. And over the decades, club members have played a key role in many important local initiatives. In the 1970s, for instance, two founding club members began collecting documents and photos that chronicled Churchill's history. There hadn't been any effort before that, and they began putting these materials together. And at first, they stored the stuff in their homes, but of course, as inevitably happens, the growing collection soon outpaced the available storage space in their homes. Thankfully, the Churchill Public Library stepped in. They offered one of its small seminar rooms. And it is small, by the way. It's 10 feet wide and 15 feet deep. Not a big space. But they offered it to store and to organize this growing archive. Well, as the collection expanded, it spilled into an adjacent room. Unfortunately, the library board now wants to rent out that second room for meetings and has moved everything back into the original space. And I'm told that room is now so crammed with boxes. You know, you basically have to move a bunch of stuff to get anything else out. And so it's not an effective space anymore for archives, you know, and it's therefore not even useful as a resource because you just have to dig and dig and dig to find anything. Churchill urgently needs more archival storage space. And well, if there's any listeners out there who are involved with local archives, I suspect they're nodding in agreement. You know, this is something that is widespread and a solution to our archival crisis is needed and soon.
Is there a solution?
Well, fundamentally, archives need more space. You know, but this isn't simply a matter of finding places to stack boxes. As I said earlier, archival storage should meet standards for long-term preservation. So anything I'd likely to say is going to be an interim solution in the absence of good storage space. One of those interim solutions may lie with libraries. As readers increasingly turn to electronic books, I would imagine that the physical footprint of the library collections is shrinking. You know, could some of that space be repurposed for archives? Now, I wonder if I'm going to receive any hate mail from librarians for suggesting that they share space with archives. But I hope that maybe the librarian in Churchill will be receptive to the plight of the Churchill Ladies Club and their archive. Another possible solution to this dilemma is digitization, scanning archival materials at high resolution to preserve their informational value, even if the physical originals are lost. And I know that's painful to even contemplate that, But we may not be able to save every page, every photo. A high-quality digital facsimile, in my view, is better than nothing at all, which is exactly what we risk without a coordinated strategy to prevent what I'm calling archival Alzheimer's. So I call on governments at all levels, at the municipal level, the provincial level, the federal level, to take this matter seriously before too much of our collective memory is gone.
It is such an interesting societal conundrum, right? Because it's about placing values on different things and what do we value more. So I really appreciate this, Gordon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What's up for next week?
There's a group that for over 100 years has been recognizing people, places, and events of national historic significance. Yet, I suspect that few of our listeners know about it and its important work. So next week, we're going to talk about the Historic Sites and Monuments Board of Canada.
Thanks, Gordon. Looking forward to it.
See you next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.